Having summarized the teachings of Jatabharata, Shukadeva Goswami said, "My dear King Parikshit, the path indicated by Jatabharata is like the path followed by Garuda, the carrier of the Lord. And ordinary kings are just like flies. Flies cannot follow the path of Garuda. And to date, none of the great kings and victorious leaders could follow this path of devotional service, not even mentally." Purport. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, "Manushanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati yisiddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschinmam veti tatvataha." Out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection. And of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. The path of devotional service is very difficult, even for great kings who have conquered many enemies. Although these kings were victorious on the battlefield, they could not conquer the bodily conception. There are many big leaders, yogis, swamis, and so-called incarnations who are very much addicted to mental speculation and who advertise themselves as perfect personalities. But they are not ultimately successful. The path of devotional service is undoubtedly very difficult to follow, but it becomes very easy if the candidate actually wants to follow the path of the Mahajan. In this age, there is a path of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who appeared to deliver all fallen souls. The path is also simple and easy, that everyone can take it to it by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Nama Iva Kevalam, Kalau Nasteva, 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 Gantya Anyata. We are very satisfied that this path is being opened by this Krishna consciousness movement, because so many Europeans and American boys and girls are taking this philosophy seriously and gradually attaining perfection. So the text again. Tasyedam upagayanti arshabhasyeha rajarsher manasapi mahatmanaha mahatmana nanuvart marhiti ripo makshi keva garut mataha. Having summarized the teachings of Jatabharata, Shukadeva Goswami, dear King Parikshit, the path indicated by Jatabharata is like the path followed by Garuda, the carrier of the Lord. And ordinary kings are just like flies. Flies cannot follow the path of Garuda. And to date, none of the great kings and victorious leaders could follow this path of devotional service, not even mentally. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Pristaya Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Viranta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasutun Deve Koravani Vracharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskatiya De Siddharane. So here we find contrast, as usual. The path to devotional service, Prabhupada mentions, is very difficult. And then he says it's very easy and simple. So which is it? Is it difficult or is it easy or simple? Well, Prabhupada said it's both. As Prabhupada said, it's simple for the simple and very complicated for the crooked. And what's the turning point between being simple and being complicated? Does anyone know? Yes. Yes, that's what it says in the verse. The point is, if we think we're Krishna's servants, then it's very simple. And if we don't think we're Krishna's servants, then it's very, very difficult. Therefore, Krishna begins Bhagavad Gita by telling us, trying to shake us a little bit, because normally we think we're this body. or the mind. And if we don't think we're the mind, then we think we're some conception of life, that we have some special insight into reality that no one else has. And therefore we form movements where we're the head of it, because we actually can see. Everyone else is blind. When we're on the mental platform, we want to associate with people who make us feel good. And when we're on the sensual platform, we just need something to eat and a place to sleep. And everything else is cherry on the top of the cake. So this is called false ego. In other words, what makes everything difficult is our false ego. And what makes everything simple is spiritual intelligence. Spiritual intelligence, in other words, that this is my self-interest to follow what Krishna says. If we don't have that much intelligence, then everything becomes very difficult. Because then our mind and senses will take up the space between our conviction to serve Krishna and what we don't know what to do. So our mind and senses will engage us. Or as Prabhupada writes in the verse, Indriyani Mano Buddhira, Asya Dishtanam Uchate, Aitara Vimohat Yatye Kam, Yanam Ritti Dehina. The senses, the mind, the intelligence are the sitting places of lust, which veils the real knowledge of the living entity and bewilders him. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that everything begins with a lusty intelligence induces we have to find out where these sitting places of lust are so we can know how to conquer them. If we don't know where the sitting places are, then how can we conquer lust? Because most people really don't want to conquer lust because they want to serve lust. Why would you want to conquer something you're trying to serve? They believe, as Krishna says, that the end of life, the primary necessity of human form of life, is to satisfy desire. Desires of the senses that can be somewhat easily satisfied. The desires of the mind are very, very difficult to satisfy because there's no limit to how much you have to satisfy them. The more you satisfy the desires of the mind, then the more desires arise to satisfy the mind. There's only so much we can eat before we get sick, or before it doesn't go down anymore, there's no space. As far as sleeping, there's only 24 hours a day we can sleep. No one has ever been able to sleep 25 hours in a day. So there's a limit. As far as sex, it's limits. And as far as defending, everyone dies, so it doesn't matter. There's no good defense. And ultimately, even if you're the best boxer, someone like Banasura will come around with 10,000 arms, and you won't be able to block his punches. So the material world means that on the sensual platform, there's certainly going to be very limited amount of happiness or whatever endeavor we can even make on the gross sensual platform. On the subtle platform, it gets more complicated. On the gross platform, the senses demand, and we follow. On the subtle platform, we concoct our own demand, more or less. The mind comes up with ideas. We don't really have to follow them. And if we do follow them, then the mind will come up with more ideas. And there's no limit. Therefore, first thing necessary is hearing. Otherwise, if we don't hear, and what are we supposed to hear? Often, people like to hear nice stories. They want to be entertained. Matter of fact, you know, we had a nice computer game for the Hare Krishna computer game, where we killed demons on it, and we had a choice between coming to class and playing the computer game and killing the demons on the screen. Most of us would probably honestly choose killing the demons on the screen. Something practical. But actually, hearing is the greatest austerity. Why? Why is hearing such a great austerity? Because by hearing, we have to conquer the mind. Lord Brahma, the most pious person in the whole universe, which means, according to the Bhagavatam, he must have executed pious activities, perfectly followed the Varna and Ashram system for 100 births, in order to become qualified to get the post of Brahma. But when he woke up one day, and he couldn't see anything because all the lights were out. Matter of fact, the lights were out because there were no lights. He didn't know what was going on. And he looked around, he couldn't figure it out. He climbed down the lotus stem. Couldn't see anything, and he heard tapa. So he went back, and he sat there for a long, long, long time. And what was he trying to do? Just control his mind. I'm here all alone, it's cold, nothing to eat. Mommy, where's mommy? So it took him a long time to calm his mind down. And finally, when he calmed his mind down, and he meditated upon tapa, tapa means to heat up. And he got into the fire, eventually a devotional service, then he was able to remember Krishna. And then as his meditation on Krishna became deeper, all the realizations started to come to him. He realized, according to the particular Brahma, one Brahma, he realized that he was the eternal maidservant of Krishna. So that's the austerity, actually learning how to hear. And not just hear anything. People are very expert at hearing all kinds of things. But hearing about Krishna in such a way is that we actually are able to accept it. Of course, we have to show Krishna we accept it. Because, as it says, lusty intelligence influences the first thing is that we hear about the glories of sense gratification. Sense gratification includes the mind. How happy people are to be material existence. If you're going to sell something, I mean, we can go down the street here and look at all the billboards, you don't see old, crippled, morose people. Buy this new car and you have an old, crippled, morose person driving the car. No, people think, well, I think I'll get a bicycle. No, they show happy, young, vibrant people, ecstatic people, driving this car. And why do they become happy and ecstatic? Because they're in that car. It's the magic mystery tour. By getting into that car, suddenly the spiritual world opened up. And indeed, everything is sold on that basis, on how enthusiastic people are. If you go on internet and you want to buy something, they always have comments. People are making their comments. Generally, the people who are selling things want nice reviews. They encourage people to give positive reviews, because if you read positive reviews, you'll become interested in also acquiring that same object or doing the same thing. If you read, I bought this object and exploded in my face. I bought it, my son and daughter died. And I got the measles and mumps and eventually I got cancer. It probably won't be a very big selling point. You'd probably be better off to take all your money out of the stock in that country, in that company, if you read such reviews. But if you read, you know, I bought the stock and hair grew on my head. My wife came back. The dog waved his tail twice as much. Then you think, wow, this is a good product. Let me buy one too. So hearing is hearing about what? We become inspired when we hear something enthusiastic. If someone says something very enthusiastic and meaningful, meaningful means what I can do to also get the same experience. One time I was distributing books a long time ago on Hollywood Boulevard. And on Hollywood Boulevard, there are all these movie theaters. And people are lined up. So I thought, well, this is a good place to distribute books. But people are absorbed in a different state of consciousness rather than devotional. They weren't going to the movies to see, you know, what is that, the Lord Ramachandra's pastimes, what's the Sita's wedding. That was not the one that was playing. It was someone's wedding, but it wasn't Sita's. In any case, I found it rather difficult to interest people because on these long lines. But one completely insane person came talking, as they say in English, a mile a minute, just saying all kinds of nonsense, waving his hands like a madman all over. And he had this garbage can. And he was acting so bizarrely, in such a bizarre manner, that people were just taking their money from their pockets and throwing it into the garbage can. Because they thought, this is better than the movie. We'll go to see the movie, we might fall asleep, but no one's going to fall asleep next to this crazy person. This is the most exciting thing I've seen. So people want excitement, and they want to hear people talk with excitement about something, and then they become interested. How can I get that object and become excited also? So, when they hear about the glories, and they become lusty, the mind becomes lusty, let me get it, let me enjoy it, and then lusty intelligence influences the spirit soul to acquire a false ego, to misidentify itself with the mind and senses for sense gratification. So again, lusty intelligence. Because the senses in the mind, they say, we need this. We can't live without it. This will actually make you happy. This is really enjoyable. You must get it. And then the intelligence has to be utilized to figure out how to get it. If you know Prashadam is in the next room, we need our intelligence to tell us how to pick up our feet and move over to the next room. It takes intelligence. Otherwise, if we can't move over to the next room, we need at least enough intelligence either to ask someone to bring the prashadam over to us or to carry us over to the next room. But some intelligence is required to enjoy in the material world. So we want to enjoy, we need intelligence to do it, but that's called lusty intelligence. And in order to enjoy, we need a false ego. No one will sacrifice their energy, their existence, for the body unless they have some idea, that some conception, that they are the body. No one will put money in someone else's bank account. And if we don't have that conviction and enthusiasm, then we have to have patience. We think, well, it's been 3 weeks and I'm not a pure devotee. Something wrong with the process. Doesn't work for me. What am I wasting my time here? I could be at the bar steady trying to get high in the Hare Krishna movement. I can get immediately high. Therefore, it requires some patience. And what is patience based upon? Conviction that we're actually eternal souls. And that there is any supreme eternal soul. Everything didn't pop out of nothing. Everything is not uncontrolled. There is a logic reasoning behind the material nature. There is karma. There's time. There's so many things that should be obvious to a person whose intelligence has not been carried away by the illusory energy. Then if we have that knowledge, that patience, then we can learn how to hear better and how to utilize this body better so we get some experience. It may not be overwhelming enthusiasm at first. We noticed during this class here, however good the class is, I've never seen anyone rolling on the ground, even in the best class, with their hair standing on end, crying, "Oh, what a nice class." Now I've understood. It doesn't work like that. But a little bit of conviction, yes, I am not this body, I'm actually a spiritual being. There is a Krishna, and he's a nice person. He's not what everyone's saying he is. He's not some kind of old man sitting on a chair just throwing people into hell when he gets in a bad mood. He's actually a nice person. And he's doesn't have a big false ego. I go back to the spiritual world and I'm just a little tiny soul and everyone else is enjoying. And they say, and I, "Hey, what am I supposed to do? Shut up." Who do you think you are anyhow? You're supposed to be humble. Look, kid, you fell down, you know. We wouldn't, you know your place. No, Krishna is the all-loving, all-considerate. Everyone loves Krishna in the spiritual world. Not because he's God and they're afraid what's going to happen to him if they, you know, they look the wrong way. Krishna says, "Yeah, you're back here, you know, watch it. You may be the first one to get kicked out." No, everyone loves Krishna. That's why they stay there. That's why they're there. No one's being forced to stay there. But because Krishna is so lovable, they become more and more enthusiastic all the time. And when Krishna sees the enthusiasm of his devotees, he becomes even more lovable. Therefore, we patiently have to hear, become convinced that we should do something for Krishna's mission with the energies we have, sacrifice something, that's called confidence, and then gradually the realizations will come, and then we'll become, the enthusiasm will develop. If we try to jump to just be enthusiastic, that's nice, but without the background of confidence and patience, it won't last for very long. Just like sometimes we may go out, distribute books, or we may do some nice service, we may sacrifice, and we feel very good, enthusiastic, and then we can, and then we become proud. Just see how nice my service is, who's going to recognize it? Anyone here taking a picture? Will my name be read out? Will everyone go jai as soon as they hear my name? Ki jai! It's all right, it's all right. What did you say anyhow? Say that again. So we have to become convinced that actually I'm doing my service to please Krishna. And if we do that, if we realize I am Krishna's servant, even that much, that simple realization, and that I should do something to please Krishna, then gradually our Krishna will reveal, not that we're going to somehow or another by our prowess, when Krishna sees our humble service attitude, our appreciation of others. What makes us humble? It's not that we think I'm fallen, I'm lousy, I'm rotten, look at all these miserable things I'm doing, you know, I deserve to go to hell, I'm so proud, I'm so humble. I'll see how humble I am. And Krishna's not looking for that kind of humility, that we're just like thinking I'm rotten, fallen. No, that's a waste of time. Whereas they ask Prabhupada, I'm the most fallen. Prabhupada said, if you're the most fallen, then why don't you do something about it? Prabhupada, I'm the most fallen. You're not the most anything. No, the real humility comes by appreciation when we see how wonderful everyone else is, how wonderful Krishna is, how wonderful Krishna's devotees are, then we'll feel ourselves insignificant. That's real humility, not negative, it's positive. The real humility comes from appreciation of how wonderful everyone else is. And that That's the reality, and that will be uncovered by Krishna when we patiently hear and then humbly serve. Then Krishna will reveal that to us. Then Krishna will actually reveal how nice everyone is. And if that's not revealed, then we have to patiently come and follow the principles and gradually develop some confidence in the process of devotional service and the instructions coming from Krishna and disciples' succession. And as that confidence is there, then Krishna will say, well, he believes. I might as well reveal it to him. And we have these doubts. Well, maybe it's true, maybe it's not true. Maybe there's such a thing as spiritual. Then Krishna will never reveal it to us because he doesn't want to spoil our material life. Because what are these doubts? Krishna says they're arising out of ignorance. What is that ignorance? It's because we're indecisive. We're thinking we're this body, and we're thinking maybe I should satisfy my desires and plans before it's too late. Or we're thinking maybe I might be Krishna's servant. I don't really know. Maybe I should do something for Krishna. So as long as we're remaining on the mental platform, it's very difficult for Krishna to spoil. He's not going to force us to give up our material life. We have to voluntarily do that. So our attitude of service means, at least let me set aside all my doubts. Let me try to utilize my spiritual intelligence, whatever I understood so far, apply that to the best of our ability, and expect Krishna's mercy. Ashabanda sumut kanda. Expect Krishna's mercy, and then Krishna will be happy to give it to us. And we think, well, how can I expect Krishna's mercy? Maybe Krishna is not there. How can he give me mercy if he's not even there? Or even if he is there, who's to say if he's merciful? So far he hasn't been very merciful. Why should I expect his mercy? Then I'll just be disappointed. So let me hold back, and when Krishna is in the right mood, he'll give me his mercy. No, we have to become first deserve and then desire. So we want Krishna's mercy. Then believe in it and then do something to deserve it. And then Krishna will be happy to give it. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Yes. Well, if you're not sure, then don't do anything.
But then I can stop immediately. Because
yeah, that's a good idea. Just stop immediately. And then submissively inquire, because that's Krishna's process. Submissively inquire from Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And there, luckily, the Supreme Spiritual Master is in our heart. So when he actually sees that we've stopped and we're not following our mental speculation, that we're actually interested in finding out what he wants us to do, and we sincerely look through Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, then the Super Soul will give us the intelligence so we can understand eventually. And then when everything becomes clear, then we should act. and everything's not clear, then we shouldn't do anything. We follow the process until it becomes clear. If we act without clarity, then we're just acting whimsically. And the result of acting whimsically is one doesn't become Krishna conscious. You may get so many other things, but we won't get Krishna consciousness. Because we have to follow the process Krishna has given us to become Krishna conscious. And the process is not just the so-called surrender. Prabhupada writes, blind following an absurd inquiry is a condemned. So surrender blindly is not what Krishna wants. And absurd inquiries are also asking irrelevant things other than what Krishna wants us to do. Blind following an absurd inquiry is a condemned. One should not only hear submissively, but one should get a clear understanding through submission and service and inquiry. So we have to follow the process. Then it works. Otherwise, it doesn't work. Anything else? Yes. Well, Krishna's mercy. The question is, I was speaking about Krishna's mercy. What is Krishna's mercy? Krishna's mercy is Krishna. When he reveals himself to us, that's called mercy. That's what he says. He said, this is called anukampam. Tate nukampam susamikshamano bunjana evatmakritam vipakam yajvak vatpibir vididanamaste jivete yo bhukti sade sabaya dayavak. Tate nukampam tat, that, tate of you, tate anukampam. The continuous mercy. How is that possible to get it? Or what is it? Su mikshamano. Su means nicely. Sama means equally. Iksha means to see. Mano means the mind. So when we can see everything in relation to Krishna, that's the beginning of Krishna's mercy. When we see everyone and everything in relation to Krishna, that means we actually are seeing properly. Tate nukampam susamikshamano punjana evatma kritam vipakam. But I'm suffering. Does that mean Krishna wants me to suffer? He wants everyone here to suffer. I see everyone suffering. Is that now I've seen Krishna's mercy. Everyone's suffering and Krishna is, no. Punjana evatma kritam vipakam. We're suffering because of our own past misdeeds. What we've done in the past, we're getting the result now. So that's also Krishna's mercy. Because then we can learn tolerance and we won't blame Krishna. So that's a further intelligence Krishna's giving us, if we want it. And then, yadvagvibhirvidadhanamaste. Then, because we become tolerant, and we realize that Krishna is not the cause of our suffering, he's giving us good intelligence. Now I use that intelligence to continue on with my service to him. And because I continue on with my service to Krishna, in spite of all my different problems I'm facing materially, therefore, jivetiyo bhukti sadesabhayabhak, therefore, I'll inherit the kingdom of God. Krishna will reveal himself, his devotees will reveal themselves, and I'll be in the spiritual world again. So that's Krishna's mercy. He's giving us the intelligence to see things in relation to him. He's giving us the intelligence how to tolerate the problems of material existence. He's giving us the intelligence to continue on with our devotional service in spite of any problem. And then he's giving us the intelligence how to enjoy in the spiritual world with him and his associates. And that's explained in different ways. Much chita, much kata, prana. He says, I'm God. Then he says, hear from my devotees about how I'm God and how to serve me. And when you serve me with enthusiasm and patience and confidence, then I give you more and more intelligence how to make progress, become even more enthusiastic, how to become even more confident, even more patient. And then finally, when I see that you're completely sincere, as I see that you're sincerity, then I bestow my spiritual energy upon you, Ladini Shakti, Yogamaya, and in that when you become enthused with Yogamaya, when you become purified by the internal energy, then you can see me everywhere and all the time. So, the most important mercy, Krishna says, that he's giving, is the association of devotees and learning the process by which he can actually get Krishna's full mercy. Okay, thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Gaur.